Do you believe in chance? I don't. I don't believe it's my chance you're here this morning. I'm thrilled that you're here, but I believe that Jesus is even more excited. And I believe that he wants each one of us to hear what he wants to say, not what man wants to say, but what he wants to say, and to speak deep into your heart and into your life. I don't want to be here this morning and just meet with you. I'm sorry, I do, but I want to meet with the Lord himself. Ephesians 6 is where I'm reading from, and it's starting at verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. You're glad you came. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be, what? Fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit. How often? At all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. What sort of memory do you have? Is it a good one? Or is it like mine, atrocious? They say the older you get, the more difficult it is to remember things. I dread to think what I'll be like further down the road. I once bought a book many, many years ago. Wonderful title, How to Develop a Super-Powered Memory. That's a brilliant title, isn't it? It was a fantastic book, gave you all sorts of techniques for improving your memory. A lot of it was to do with association. So if I had forgotten someone's name, I may think of something that would associate to that person, and then their name would pop into my head. Brilliant book. It was so good, I put it away in a safe place, and you've guessed, I couldn't remember where I'd put it. Are you good at remembering texts? I marvel as Ken can quote verse after verse from the Word of God, often from the Authorized Version, and the vast number of hymns that he can recall. Even Mick has the ability to quote from Ephesians, from the RSV, of course, in an amazing way. And I feel envious. I can't do that to the same degree. Can I try a little experiment this morning with you all? If I give you the beginning of a text, I'll start it off. Would you all in unison, this will be fun, can you all say the second part of the text? I believe that you will be able to. You ready? Here it comes, right? Fee, fo, fi, fum. Brilliant. Well done. I told you you'd know it. I didn't say it was going to be a text from the Word of God, but you knew it anyway. Of course, it's taken from the classic children's story, Jack and the Beanstalk. And you know the story, I'm sure, how Jack steals from a giant and eventually kills him. Isn't that brilliant moral material to instill on our children? The title of what I want to share with you this morning is this: Giant Killers Unlimited. Giant Killers Unlimited. I want to talk this morning about giants. No, I'm not speaking about physical giants or fictitious giants, those from fairy stories. But I'm talking about spiritual giants. Yes, there are giants each one of us have to face. And I want to examine this morning how you and I, as sons and daughters of the living God, can face our giants, see them flee before us, and can, with God's enabling, slay them. Of course, every single one of us know very well the Bible speaks of giants. Can you name one? Now, why did I think that name would appear? We've all heard of Goliath. We know so very, very well. And of course, we've all heard of Ishbi-Benob, haven't we? We'll come to that gentleman later. Do you know how giants originated? Do you know how they can be tackled and how they can be defeated? Well, the Bible has all the answers. And that's where we need to go when we're dealing with giants. Giants are first referred to in the book of Genesis as early as chapter 6, where we read, "In those days on the earth there were giants. When the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men of old, men of renown." The NIV version uses the word Nephilim instead of giants. People of great size and strength. The Hebrew word means fallen ones. The Living Bible translates that same verse as, "In those days, and even afterwards, when evil beings from the spirit world were sexually involved with human women, their children became giants, of whom so many legends were told." I'm not sure of the accuracy of that translation, but I do know this, that giants appeared as a result of extreme sinful desires and thoughts and the wickedness of man. So much so that shortly after reading that verse, we read, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and every inclination every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. His heart was filled with pain. And you know the result. God said, I'm going to wipe mankind from the face of the earth. And so the flood came. Had it not been for Noah, who was a just and righteous man, who walked habitually in fellowship with God, the whole of mankind would have been annihilated. So, giants originated at a time when God describes all humanity as being degenerate, debased, vicious, and corrupt. Remember this, giants are evil. They are opposed to God, and they can involve satanic forces. The next reference that I found in Scripture to giants is found in the book of Numbers. And this is an interesting one. The Lord had said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. I'm giving this land to the Israelites. From each of the ancestral tribes, send one of its leaders. That's how we get the 12 spies that went into the land. Do you notice there who God said to Moses to send? They were leaders of God's people. That's a challenge. They were sent by God himself. You and I know only too well what happened there. The vast majority of those leaders were totally intimidated. By what? Listen to their words. We saw Nephilim, giants, there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. That was their perception of themselves. And we looked like grasshoppers to them. They were giants of great stature and courage and stronger than we are. The result, of course, was that Israel, filled with fear, rebelled against the Lord. And they failed to enter and enjoy the promised land. You see, giants can have a devastating effect when we succumb to them. Both Caleb and Joshua refused to be intimidated, and they eventually, and only those two, entered the promised land. Caleb said this to the people, let us go up at once and possess the land. We are well able to conquer it. I like what Joshua said to the people. The Lord will bring us into this land and will give it to us. Don't fear the people. They are bread for us. Fear them not. Of course, Joshua became the very one that God chose to lead Israel into the promised land. When he led the Israelites in, had the giants disappeared? Of course not. They were still there. But with God's enabling, that new generation of the children of Israel defeated the enemy. They took possession of what God had promised them. Surely you and I can do the same today. Deuteronomy is where we next encounter references to giants. Here Moses is giving his farewell speech, his farewell address. He's preparing the people for that entrance into Canaan. If you remember, he wasn't allowed to take the people in. Joshua led them in. But he recounts, Moses recounts before the whole nation of Israel how God had brought the people to the borders of the promised land, how their fathers had rebelled. They'd failed to enter, and they'd wandered as a result of their rebellion. They'd wandered in the desert for 40 long years. Now a new generation faced that same enemy. And Moses reminded them how they marched out against Og, king of Bashan, and his entire enemy. His entire army. He was the last of the giant Rephaim, another name for giants. The Lord had said to Moses, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you and his whole army." Moses reminds the people what happened. He said, "We struck them down, leaving no survivors." Do you know what they did with King Og's bedstead? In effect, they put it in a museum for all to see. Anyone who wanted to see what God had done against this giant and his army had only got to go and look at this bedstead. It measured apparently 4.5 meters in length by 2 meters wide. That's a king size bed for you. The size of that bed suggests that he was taller than Goliath by at least a meter. Notice the command from God was, "Do not be afraid. I have handed him over to you." So let's come to that most famous of giants, Goliath. What can we learn from David's confrontation with Goliath that will help you and I when we face our spiritual giants? First of all, he was big. Some 3 meters. 9 to 10 feet tall. His armor and his weapons were impressive. In all, he was a terrifying figure as he marched defiantly to and fro before the Israeli army. You see, giants defy God's people. They openly and they boldly resist. They challenge and they provoke. And sometimes they invite Christians to do battle, to enter into combat. And the reaction to this so often is the reaction we see from the children of Israel. They were fearful and they knew defeat. Saul and the Israelites were dismayed. They were terrified. They saw and heard Goliath, and they ran in great fear. So I asked myself, what was so different about David that made him a giant slayer when everyone else was filled with fear? Firstly, he had a most intimate relationship with God. You only need to read the words of David in the book of Psalms to know that this is true, to be aware of it. Take Psalm 16, for instance, where David says, "In you, O God, I have found refuge. In you I put my trust. You are my God. I have no good beside you. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." You and I, those who have a personal salvation through Jesus, can enjoy an increasingly intimate relationship with God. This is most vital. It's most essential. It's the most important relationship that mankind requires. And you and I can only know this relationship through faith in Christ and in his death on Calvary. You see, our ability to conquer spiritual giants is totally dependent upon the fact that Christ lives within us. Secondly, I notice David experienced the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit within his life. When Samuel anointed David with oil, under God's clear direction, we read this: the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Spiritual battles can only be won. Spiritual giants can only be defeated when the Holy Spirit himself works through our lives. Will you notice? David refused to wear Saul's armor. You can't fight spiritual battles with human resources. So why do we always, or so often, strive in that way? Thirdly, I see a progression, if you like, in David's ability to trust God, to take him at his word, and to step forward and slay giants. David didn't become a giant slayer overnight. He had to learn with smaller situations to trust God. That's if you can call killing a lion and a bear smaller situations. David recognized that it was God who'd intervened. It was God who had delivered him from the lion and from the bear. And now, as he stood before King Saul, the combined armies of Israel and Philistine as his audience, Goliath standing before him, David knew without a doubt God would give him the victory. That's amazing faith. Perhaps God is saying to you and to me this morning, trust me with smaller giants, smaller situations. I'll give you victory, and it will increase your faith to step out and conquer those larger giants in your life. Next, I noticed David wasn't defeated by the threats uttered by Goliath. I'll feed you to the birds and the animals. Instead, David stated very clearly why and how he was going to win. He knew that it wasn't his skill with a stone and a sling that would result in the destruction of Goliath. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. So David clearly recognized that it was God who would give the victory. Will you notice something very important? David said to Goliath, the Lord will hand you over to me. But he also said, I will strike you down. I think there's an important thing to notice here. God gave the victory, but David had a vital role to play in that victory. He had to step out in faith. He had to act. then God gave the victory. Have you ever wondered why David chopped Goliath's head off? I think of some strange things, don't I? I believe Goliath was dead before he hit the ground. Why sever his head? I believe it was to show the Philistine army that Goliath was truly dead, and there was no way that that giant was going to raise his head again. He was dead permanently. I believe David was prepared to face more than one giant. I think David recognized that giants often come together. Do you find that? I do. Maybe I could cope with one giant, but when they come one after the other, that's when we find the battle hard. Was it the thought that David had in his head that he might miss with his first shot that caused him to pick up 5 stones from that brook? Or was it that he'd learned that Goliath had brothers? Yes, we sometimes have to face one giant. But remember, the God who enabled David to kill the lion and the bear also gave him victory over Goliath. And so we come to that other giant I mentioned, Ishbi-Benob. David was now king of both Judah and Israel. Again, he was facing the Philistine enemy. You see, evil, we all know, is relentless in its attacks. David faced a Philistine giant yet again, and this one was equally, if not more so, determined to destroy him. David didn't kill this giant. It was one of David's men who stepped in and slew Ishbi-Benob. We read in that part of the Old Testament that 3 further battles took place, in which 3 further giants were slain, but it was by David's men. Will you notice David required assistance on these occasions to slay these other giants? Sometimes God uses other Christians to step alongside and to assist you and I when the battle's too hard. There's a wonderful principle that we see in the Old Testament. Joshua and the Israelites are down in the valley. They are fighting the Amalekites. Moses is standing on the mountain top with his arm raised, holding the rod of God. While ever his hand was raised, the enemy was defeated. When Moses became weary and his arm began to fall, the enemy were victorious. Aaron and Hur came and stood either side of Moses. And when his arm began to fall, they held him up. Have you experienced that? That when you're weak, when you're vulnerable, there are those within God's people who come and stand at your side, who intercede for you and with you. You know, I discovered that the Amalekites, they weren't giants, but I noticed this, that they were noted for attacking the weak, the feeble, the vulnerable, the weary. And there are those times when we are unable, as John said, we're unable to go any further. We're exhausted, we're worn out, we're overwhelmed. And it's then that God says, my people will stand with you and enable you to succeed. When David confronted Goliath, he went straight for him. He didn't use stealth, that's the enemy's ploy. David didn't hesitate. He didn't dither. He went straight in for the kill, knowing that God would enable him to conquer. And I believe that's how the Lord wants you and me to deal with our giants. Identify, attack, defeat. So what are your giants? What are my giants? They vary. They'll be different for each one of us. Yes, we'll have some which are just the same. Anger, temper, pride, jealousy, fear, anxiety, worry, depression, sickness, sinful desires, evil thoughts, doubts and unbelief. They're all giants. And there are others. You know the giants this morning that you face. Then there are demons. Yes, they really do exist. Jesus confronted them and he cast them out. Whenever he met people under their influence and under their control, they had to flee. They're very real. The more people and more in the world today, people are dabbling in the occult. The more and more they are opening themselves and others to demon possession. As Christians, the Word of God clearly tells us, don't get involved. Avoid it. It's sinful. It's evil. It's against God Almighty. But you and I need to learn how to deal with this situation and how, with God's enabling, to conquer. There's only once I've ever had to face demonic possession. And I can tell you this, it was a fearful experience. I was all so grateful for the support of other Christians and for God's wonderful protection. And we saw that person amazingly delivered from the power of the enemy. Demons have to flee when God's people, filled with the Spirit of the living God, command them to go. But even more wonderful, the Word of God tells us that that giant of all giants, the devil himself, has to flee. When? When you and I, in the power of God, resist him and command him to flee. But notice, always it's a work of God. It's not you and I. The Christian life is a battle. I don't need to tell you that. Yes, the Bible clearly tells us that very thing. The battle, of course, is spiritual. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers, it's against authorities, it's against powers of this dark world, and it's against the forces of evil in heavenly realms. That certainly sounds to me like giants. They're waging war against us. This is why, as I read earlier, Paul says, put on the full armour of God so you can stand against the evil schemes of the enemy. And when you've done all, to stand. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, we read, are our protective armour. the Word of God and prayer in the Holy Spirit are our offensive weapons. The one thing I'm beginning to learn, and I'm a slow learner, is that giants often require prayer in the Holy Spirit to see them destroyed. We can try all our human effort, use all our human understanding and ability, but it's God, the Holy Spirit, that we need when we face our giants. There are two names I'm sure you will remember from the 12 spies who went to survey the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. I would imagine, like me, you can't remember any of the others. We remember Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they took God at his word. They faced their giants. They defeated the enemy. And they claimed their rightful inheritance. I don't know about you. I want to be remembered not because of failure, but because of victory. Because I have defeated my giants and I've entered into all the inheritance that is mine as the son of the living God. This morning, we need, you and I need, with the Lord's enabling, to face our giants. This morning, I want to ask you to do that. I want you to start with one of those giants, to come against him in faith and in the power of God's Spirit, to declare to that giant that it will no longer intimidate you. Will you allow the Lord of glory, the Almighty, to fill your life so that you see the enemy destroyed and victory totally achieved? Let's not limit God. We need to be giant killers unlimited. Let's pray together. Father, you have declared this morning that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Total power, absolute power, against everything that the enemy is or strives to do to your children. And Lord, I believe this morning you're saying to each one of us, face your giants and I will give you the divine power of my Spirit to defeat and to destroy those giants. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. If you believe God is speaking directly to you, and only if, I want you to stand. You may even want to come to the front, that's fine. But I want you to say to God this morning, I'm going to defeat that giant in my life. For too long, it has held me in captivity. But in your name and with your enabling, I'm going to see that giant tumble and fall. If that's you this morning, and each one of us have got giants, I have. But if you feel this morning that God is speaking to you, I want you to stand to your feet. And by doing that, declare, Lord, I'm going to destroy in your strength this giant this morning. Precious Saviour. Ooh, shakamaya yaka, hee, dakamaya yaka.